The Marlins dropped the series against the Padres in the end. Game three was a lopsided affair. Jesus Luzardo could not go long. Matt Barnes could not get any outs. The Padres take that one. We now look ahead to a stretch of games that the Marlins, in reality, have to win. How can they do it? Maybe without Gerrit Cooper. How can they do it? Maybe without Matt Barnes. All on today's Locked On Marlins.
You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings from England. Welcome to Locked On Marlins. This, of course, is your daily Marlins podcast. I'm your host, Peter Pratt. Hit me up, of course, on Twitter at Miami Marlins _UK. If you're listening to the pod, hit subscribe. Of course, this is your team every day. And thanks for making Locked On Marlins your first listen of the day. There is a YouTube channel. Head on over there, hit subscribe. Also, you will see the graphics are queued. The agenda is queued. Tons to get into here, guys. Firstly, have to call it out. Apologies for the pause in play the last few days. For those, the everydayers, I guess, but for those that have been listening along and following me on Twitter, you will know I've been to Paris. Yes, France. I went over to France to take in some tennis at Roland Garros with my daughter, which was absolutely sensational. However, that situation, not conducive to podcasts while I was there. Didn't even take the laptop. So apologies for the pause in play, but we are back. We are back strong. And I hope for the next at least week, the Marlins performances are going to be super, super strong. A's are in town. It's time to bring the pain against the A's just won a series against the Braves, though, by the way. So maybe the A's are heating up for the Marlins anyway, just at exactly the wrong time. But this series is there for the taking. This is the series that we were looking at last year when the Nats would come to town. And you'd be like, yep, this is an automatic sweep. And, you shouldn't predict sweeps. You know, it's hard to sweep teams. And, particularly coming off a Braves series where they played some good stuff. But the Marlins really need to win this series. And they really need to be targeting a win in all of these. Was bullish on Twitter earlier. Very bullish. I didn't realize that the Marlins have never had a double-digit win streak ever in their history. They've never won 10 straight. I believe four times they've won nine straight. There's an opportunity here for the Marlins to have or create franchise history. 10 dubs at least in a row. Can they do it? It's absolutely possible. It's there for them if they play well. We'll wait to see if they can. So for today's episode, we've got the main takeaways from the Padres series. We've got a Gerrit Cooper update. And it's trending in the wrong direction. A Matt Barnes update. Also, Soriano recalled. So we're going to dig into that as well. And Yuri Perez, Trevor Rogers conversation, let's say, continues. I put some stuff out there earlier this week. Again, the everydayers would have caught that. My view on how, if, when the Marlins could, should get Trevor Rogers back into this rotation and how it impacts Yuri Perez, according to Craig Mish. And when Craig Mish is talking about something with any kind of gusto, you should stop and listen and take note. And I think that's where we're trending here. Before we get this bad boy rolling, though, we have a sponsor of today's episode. So we need to talk about our sponsor, and it's our good friends at Game Time. You can download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Love that slogan as well, by the way. So, the Padres series, the Marlins drop it 1-2. Overall, the main takeaway was, the Marlins could have been swept in this pretty easily. If you were looking at in-game probabilities, etc., for the Marlins should have lost all three games. Somehow, they found a way to get it done in game two of the series. Somehow they get it done against, the best closer in the game, perhaps, in Josh Hader. It was great to see. And it was the bottom of the lineup that made it happen. Me and Gene Segura and Nicky Fortes, the bottom of the lineup doing it. And so for me, main takeaway was the Marlins didn't, no, that's unfair. They didn't have an amazing game in game three. Game two was a close game and they came back and won it. And probability wise, they probably shouldn't. Game one, they had tons of opportunities, just couldn't get it done. And ended up dropping that one. So it was a pretty mixed bag. The first two games, I would say it was even at one apiece. However, each club won a game that they probably shouldn't have won. And in game three, obviously, Jesus Luzardo. This has been the theme for the Marlins pitching just all year. Every pitcher, all year, pretty much. They go through the order once. It looks amazing. They go through the order twice. It doesn't look as good. And if they get to the third time, boy, oh boy, then the wheels really fall off. The wheels fell off yesterday for Jesus Luzardo in that sixth inning. Couldn't get through six. The Marlins continue to struggle with length from their starters. And it's been an issue all year long. And it's been an issue where I'm not quite seeing any adjustments thus far. Just struggling. I don't quite understand what's happening in games. Skip Schumacher spoke after yesterday's game talking about Jesus Luzardo that, you know, first time through looked amazing. First pitch strikes way up there. After that, into that kind of, you know, the fifth inning, sixth inning, just really struggled to get that first pitch strike, which is so important. Skip spoke about that so much this year. He really speaks about it for Eddie Cabrera in particular. But I think Jesus Luzardo yesterday. Matt Barnes came in to try and retrieve the situation. I mean, it was looking an uphill task anyway. Overall, then Matt Barnes just ended up giving up a ton of contact, ton of singles, ton of doubles, whatever it might be, and a ton of runs just piled up. And, you know, I don't think a 1-2 series flattered the Padres. I think they deserved it. I think fundamentally, you know, you can look at the records, right, with the Padres coming into town and go, hey, they're below 500. This club is below 500. The Marlins, this is there for the taking. You look at the Padres lineup and you soon realize that their record is not indicative of the talent on the roster. It isn't. The Padres, they've got so many guys. And yes, okay, they're missing Manny Machado right now, but you know, they're a dangerous club. Dangerous, dangerous club. And you know, it didn't flatter them. The Marlins didn't play well in that first game. They somehow found a way to win in the second. And in the third game, things went wonky in one inning and the game just got away from them. Jacob Stallings looking nice, though, in the eighth inning, by the way. Was it the eighth? The ninth? Ninth inning. Jacob Stallings, third appearance of the season. I think he's got an ERA of 3 right now. So even rolling a grounded a double play to finish it all off. He's obviously been watching Sandy. Stallings, all that time out there watching how Sandy does it, he's able to replicate it, rolling double plays when he needs the most. Runner was on first and third, I believe, in that situation, and he rolls it, which is great to see from Stallings. Overall, the series, it's one of those where you kind of come away thinking, okay, offense is still ticking along. Jesus Sanchez is now back in town. And you got to feel just pretty confident about how this lineup's looking right now. You do. I know this, you know, we're going to talk about Garrett Cooper after the first ad. But overall, you have to feel more confident about the offense. It feels like at this time of the year that it's kind of settling in. Luis Arraez back in the leadoff spot, which I think is interesting. Started the year in the leadoff spot. And at that point, he just kept on getting on base and then just getting stranded because no one could get him over. And they then dropped him down the order. Skip dropped him in, you know, further down because he was expecting to maybe have runners on and look to drive them in, which is really interesting. And, you know, they've kind of flipped it back around. I'm interested to see once Jazz is back, which hopefully will be in a week's time, let's say, you know, where does Jazz slot into this lineup? Does it go back to Jazz 1, Soler 2, Arias 3? You then got Brian De La Cruz, Jesus Sanchez, Yuli Gurriel. You know, Marlins' offense is looking impressive right now. It is. And so that is something that we should be thankful for. I'm intrigued to see as well what the Avisel Garcia situation ends up being and looking like. You know, it's been, you know, an elongated stint for Avi. There hasn't been a ton of news and a ton of action and a ton of buzz around him returning. So I'm really intrigued to see how the Marlins play that. But, you know, right now they're into June and they're above 500. And they right now have a huge opportunity to put some serious dubs, consecutive dubs on the board and get themselves 10 games plus over 500. throughout June. Wouldn't that be something? It really would. Really would. Let's talk about our good friends over at Game Time. Again, of course, they are the show sponsor, but also as an ad too. And there's some sexy graphics there to help you out too. And for Game Time, guys, for Game Time, it's all about buying tickets to your favorite events, and it shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. They have killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee. So you can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. You don't have to plan months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. You can get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Can't say fairer than that. You really can't. All you have to do is download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Reminder, that is LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Terms do apply, and you have to create an account, of course, as well. But simply download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Stunning. Stunning. All right. Garrett Cooper. Let's talk about Cooper Loop. He has not been in the lineup for the past 3 days. Including today. So I'm recording this before the Friday game. The lineups are announced. Cooper is not in there. That's 3 days on the spin for Coop. There's talk about Xavier Edwards being back with the club yesterday. The roster move was not made. There was then further reporting that Garrett Cooper, a recurrence of the same issue that he's already been on the IL for, which if you recall was linked to an ear infection of some sorts. So an ear infection ended up taking him to the IL. He then was rushed back, delivered immediately, and has then been kind of cold since. You know, with Cooper, you know, he'll always add the odd Cooper bloop here, there, and everywhere. And there was a couple of bombs in there as well to spice things up for Sean, which was great to see. But, you know, discouraging here for Coop, you know, clearly struggling with something, and it seems to be something that's like lingering around with as an ear infection, which sounds not great. Gut feel is that Garrett Cooper is likely headed to the IL here, and it sounds like that Xavier Edwards is going to be recalled in his place. Some were thinking, okay, you're going to send Coop back down. Who are you going to bring? Who are you going to bring up? You know, is Avi ready? Who's going to play first base? You got, you know, maybe Gerard Encarnacion potentially, but Xavier Edwards with the club, and what that means is Luis Arraez could see more time at first base. He's had a few games there this year. Yuli Gurriel, who's obviously been hitting well, plays first base pretty well. You know, so effectively they got Gurriel and Arraez. You bring Xavier Edwards up, and fundamentally Xavier Edwards has done everything right thus far. He really has. He's been impressive, really impressive. And so for me, I think for the Marlins, they've just gone best player available. And for me, right now, Xavier Edwards is truly the best player available. You know, there may be some limitations in center field because he's still learning the position. But Jonathan Davis is handling that. And so Xavier Edwards can kind of just become a util guy, whatever's required. You know, how many utility guys have the Marlins got? They've got, what, three of them? Xavier Edwards, Garrett Hampson, John Birdie, all three of those guys, you know, full-blown util guys. The Marlins are just made up of utility guys, and they love the flexibility, but it's working for them. So wait to see on Coop, nothing official. Did see a roster move today, which we'll talk about shortly, but Cooper was not on that list. Maybe things will happen again near a game time. I don't know. Wait to see. But again, it's discouraging there for Garrett Cooper. You know, stop-start season. He's in a contract year, Coop. Obviously, you know, we'll wait to see how this year pans out, whether him and the Marlins find a way to make things happen. But the longer it goes on, and particularly the longer the checkered injury history continues, albeit this again is another Garrett Cooper extravaganza, right? I feel like Coop always finds a way to be hurt in the most unlucky ways. You know, hit on the hands, can't do anything with that. Does his elbow at first base. You're reaching for a ball, and you know, the runner runs into him and collides, and that does his elbow. Now he's got this ear infection. You know, it's always these kind of really unfortunate, these unfortunate injuries that seem to kind of hamper Coop. So we'll wait to see. But at least the Marlins right now in the offense isn't truly just reliant on Garrett Cooper alone. If you remember back to last year, like as soon as Jazz and Soler went down, Coop was looking around. It was like the Will Smith gif, right? You know, where everyone was looking around and Will Smith is like, hey, where's everyone gone? Like, all of a sudden, that was the feeling. That isn't the case this year. And Coop's got other guys to lean on. Obviously, Jazz will be back soon, hopefully. But this offense looks better. And I think it can survive even without Garrett Cooper. So wait to see. Matt Barnes, though, yesterday, he had a real rough outing and ends up dropping onto the IL today with a left hip impingement. 15-day stint there for Matt Barnes. Hopefully not too serious. Like, Barnes has kind of played various roles this year. Some leverage spots, just all sorts of different roles for Matt Barnes. But in the end, didn't go well yesterday. Didn't spot anything specific during the game. But then George Soriano recalled, and George Soriano started his Marlins career on fire. I think it's great that he's getting another opportunity. However, on deck is AJ Puck. And so what we have to say is he doesn't seem like he's going to make it back for this series. But maybe for after the weekend when the Royals are in town, perhaps AJ Puck is back, and thus a move will need to be made, whatever that may be. Potentially Soriano back down. But overall, Soriano was, I think, as impressed in his brief stint. And I thought he was a touch unlucky to be sent down last time around, to be honest with you. But, it's good for the Marlins that they still have relatively reliable guys that they can bring up and taxi up and down and, shuffle around as they need. So, we'll wait to see what kind of innings that Soriano is needed for. Let's hope for this series that we don't really need a ton of George Soriano. I mean, he's likely to be, like he was last time, used in, long man situations and he was getting multiple innings, etc. So wait to see. We then got, let's just talk about the A's series, though, briefly here. Three-game series, as I mentioned. I think they're going with an opener, the A's, this evening. I believe that's the case anyway. You've then got, from a Marlins perspective, and this is the problem with the A's rotation, right? I've not seen any A's baseball. No one's seen any A's baseball, but I've no idea who any of these dudes are. You look at the ERAs and you think, boy, oh boy, this doesn't look good. And for a Marlins offense that has been performing, this is a real good opportunity here. But Eddie Cabrera, with an ERA of just over 5, again, we need to just see, the progression, the development of Eddie Cabrera, and just keeping the walks under control, keeping on the attack. I think that's going to be important. Yuri Perez then going in Saturday's game. He's 2-1 with an ERA under 3, 2.84. We're going to talk about Yuri to finish this episode. Wrapping things up, Sandy Alcantara, of course, in the spot after Yuri Perez. The 1-2 punch, Yuri Perez as the 1 and Sandy Alcantara as the 2, maybe. Sandy also with his ERA is just under 5 now, but he's 2-5 on the year. Sandy will be looking to right the ship also on Sunday. Who knows how things play out? But fundamentally, as we look at the way the rotations line up, Uri, Sandy, and Eddie Cabrera, you've got to look at it and think, boy, oh boy, the Marlins are just going to be in the hunt here. They are looking to win all three games. They are looking to get this streak rolling. And like I said at the top of the show, I can certainly see a double-digit win streak here for the Fish. Starting with 3 against the A's. You've then got 3 more against the Royals. You've then got 3 on the road against the White Sox, which will be potentially tricky. And then to potentially get the 10th dub in a row on the road in Seattle, which will be tough. If they can play well in Seattle, they then finish that 3-city road trip up in Washington. Who knows how far this Marlins team can go? Who knows? But I'm sitting here feeling bullish, real bullish. I certainly think that they can get some serious dubs piled up here in these next, 5 series. A's, Royals, White Sox, Mariners, Nats. You then get the Blue Jays coming into town. Don Mattingly back in town as well with that. Plus all of the old Marlins bullpen too, including Anthony Bass, who I must say, the Bass man he's really had a poor PR season. No doubt. He's actually had a poor season in general. Like, he's not been pitching that great either by the numbers, but also he's had a couple of faux pas recently and a couple of PR disasters. Poor old Anthony Bass. It has not been working out for him in Toronto. He'll be back. And then the Pirates are in as well for a 4-game set as well. So all of these series, June in general, this is the time for the Marlins to cash in. Let's finish up, though, with Uri Perez and Trevor Rogers. For those that haven't seen this or heard this, I was listening to a clip that Craig had shared on Twitter of him on another podcast. It was a fantasy baseball podcast, and Craig doing his thing as he always does, being the GOAT and going on to other shows, giving his time, which is great. One of the questions posed to him was around Eury Pérez in terms of what does the future look like? And again, this is all from a fantasy perspective. You're trying to work out, you know, do you buy in on Eury Pérez at this point? What, you know, what's his innings looking like? You know, how much production can potential managers get from Eury Pérez? And so that was the topic of discussion. Craig then called it out. And again, listen, if Craig is speaking, you know, with relative confidence, then there's a good chance that this is the situation that we're going to face into here. Trevor Rogers made a rehab start earlier this week. It was against, I think low A or maybe just A ball straight up. And yeah, Trevor looked like he got his body of work in and did well, which is great to see. But Craig called it out on this show to say, as soon as you start seeing Trevor Rogers rehabbing, then you should likely be concerned about the number of innings that you will be seeing in the relative near term from Eury Pérez. I talked about it on the show the other day. Trevor needs to earn his spot back, but the vibe I'm getting from Craig's comments there, and I haven't spoken to him directly about it, but the vibe I'm getting is he's feeling pretty confident the Marlins are going to demote Eury Pérez once Trevor Rogers is ready to be recalled. I think that's going to be polarizing for many, many of the fans. It's going to be polarizing for this show, probably. I understand it in some ways, because with Uri's short leash, let's say, his pitch count, it just means that it's effectively a relatively long bullpen game every time out, right? With Pérez, like, you'll go maybe 4 or 5 innings, and you know you're going to have to get 4 or 5 innings out of your pen on that day. Yes, you've got Sandy queued up after that, but this isn't 2022, Sandy. And actually, you do need a rested pen now with Sandy also. You need a rested pen for every starter, because not one of them is giving and providing any consistent length. No consistent length for the Marlins starters. Absolutely wild. To have Sandy sitting here, you know, with an ERA around 5, the same for Eddie Cabrera, 1 inning out of Cueto, a couple of starts out of Trevor Rogers. Jesus Lazardo's ERA is ballooning also. You know, this isn't the rotation we expected, and so the pen is being asked to do tons. And so I completely understand why the Marlins would want to flex, move Eury back down to AAA, manage him in a different way, control his innings, et cetera. Can't speak at the back end of this show. And let Trevor slide back in there, much like how the year started. It's going to be interesting, though, right? Because Eury Pérez is going to get a chance to pitch against the A's this weekend. Good chance that if he pitches well, there's going to be some good results. Next time around, he will be facing the White Sox, I think, on the road, if I do my sums correctly. You know, again, another opportunity there for Eury to pitch well. You know, so you could be looking at a situation here where Trevor Rogers is ready and the Marlins end up demoting Eury Pérez after, what's that, 6 starts with a 2 ERA. And the Marlins end up demoting him to bring Trevor Rogers up. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Trevor Rogers in that spot. Huge amount of pressure, right?